be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning, and we look to the Word of God. Singing's good, and as much as we love it, and there's the Word of God, and there's the Word of God is what we need to really build everything on, our life, our church. Give you a second to get there. We got the junior church going over for the younger kids. All excited. I like enthusiasm. See them running in. I try to get the adults to run into church like this, but they don't. I don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 9. The Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the service so far this morning. We thank you for the singing, Lord, and the memories, the pictures, and the work that's gone into this day. But now we ask a special blessing upon the preaching of your word today, Lord. We know anything accomplished is something you're going to have to do. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts today through your word, and we'll put it into your hands. It's my prayer if there's one lost, not sure about their salvation, today will be the day they call on your name and ask you into their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message goes with our theme, a firm foundation, a firm foundation. Now, when you see a building out, you know, there's some old buildings. Buckhannon's got them. They're all around. The longevity in a building is a sign of several things. One of them is that, you know, a building has to have a good foundation. If the foundation's not right, then the building's not going to last. Then on top of that foundation, you have to have good material. I mean, you can't build, you know, you can have a great foundation, use bad material on top of that, and you still don't have anything. And then there's another thing is good maintenance. You know, you have to take care of a building. And, you know, when you think about a church, you know, we think about the church sometimes in our mind, right off the bat, a building pops up. But, you know, a church is not a building. A church is people. The people that it takes. And, you know, people come through churches, and we looked at the photographs of people that come through this church. And, you know, and people come and go, and the church itself has to be built, you know, on a right foundation. It has to be built on with right material and, you know, have right maintenance. And that church will stand even though the people may come and go. I mentioned Brother Yates, the first pastor. He was the first pastor of this church. There's been several other pastors, and I'm the current pastor today. I'll be on December 1st. It'll be 20-year anniversary that I've been the pastor of Valley View Baptist Church. Time flies when you're having fun, and we've certainly had fun. Amen. But, you know, we understand some things, and I know among pastors sometime we'll say, you know, Brother So-and-so's church and this and that, but we understand, we know that it's not our church. You know, listen, this is, it's God's church ultimately. Now, on the, you may belong, we all belong to a church, and in that sense, I want you to get the picture, and I've shared this with our church, that, you know, it's your church too. Don't say it's theirs. Sometimes we have a habit of saying, well, they up at the church is going to do such and such. No, it's we because we belong to this church. But the owner, you know, is God. God's the one that owns the church, and we're just stewards for the time. Paul's been taking some pictures. You notice we were kidding around last night and said that the pictures he's taken is when we celebrate the 100th anniversary, we can all look back and see how things were, right? But, you know, if the Lord doesn't come back and another 50 goes by, we won't be here, I don't think. If we do, we probably won't care what's going on. But if it's another 50, look, there'll be another congregation of folks sitting in here, another pastor, and they will never heard about it. They'll just look at the picture and say, I don't know who that is. They don't know. I mean, they'll be, because it's God's. You know, God continues it on. We understand that. Really, we're just maintenance men. We're maintenance men that we maintain God's church during the time until the Lord sees fit either to move us or the Lord comes back for us one way or another. Some commentators claim in the text that we're looking at, and this is probably true, that the text is directly talking about building a church. A lot of pastors use it for building lives, and I don't like to separate that interpretation because, you know, a church is people's lives. It's all connected. You're building a life, and it's not separate from building a church, and I really will talk to you about that some this morning in the message, and that, I want us to see that because too many people today, they separate or try to separate their church life and their family life. And, you know, it's really not intended to be that way. I mean, the early church, you know, when those people became Christians, buddy, they had a clean break from everything else, and they had to because of the way Judaism was. But they had a break, and they were all involved. It was an all involved. You know, things didn't go on at church that they weren't involved in. It's all part of their life. And building their life at home and building their life at church was all the same thing, and it really has to be. It has to be because, listen, how you build your life at home directly impacts how you build a church. And, you know, and we have to stand on that. So I want you to see that. That'll probably be, if you don't get anything else out of the message, the one point I really want to drive home is how that applies to the church and the family. Not a separate thing, folks. This is all, it's not I'm here at home and my life is going on and then on Wednesday I'll be in church life. No, it should be all one thing. And so I want us to look at that this morning. And, you know, we look at the building, like I said, building a church, building a life. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye saved people are God's husbandry." Husbandry is an agricultural term. It has to do with maintenance of crops or something that's growing. And you know what happens? You plant, you water, you prune. That's what God does to our life. I mean, God does the same thing. He said we're God's husbandry. But if he's talking about the church, he's still talking about people. And it has to be people. Then he says, and also in verse 9, "Ye are God's building." Not the outside structure of this building. Ye, us, we're God's building. God is working on us. Everything applies. God has to prune us. God waters us. God planted a seed in our heart. If you're saved, God planted a seed there. Somebody else watered that seed. It came to fruition. And then as we grow as Christians, God prunes stuff, the old dead branches, stuff that doesn't need to be there, that we can produce more fruit. We understand that. And then we're God's building. What, you know, he's building our life. He's building a church through our life. And then he said, "Ye are the temple of God," in verse 16, the dwelling place of God, that God dwells in the hearts of the believers. So everything, you can't separate a Christian life from a church itself. That is the church. The Christian life is the church. Only got 2 points this morning. Good things come in small packages, they say. Sometimes dynamite comes in small packages. I hope this message will speak to your heart this morning. But I want to look at us building a life and building a church as they go together. And the very first thing we see, the very first point, is you have to have the right foundation. If you've ever built a house or seen a house built or been in the construction trade or did anything, the very first thing you do, they put the foundation down. The foundation determines the size, and it determines the shape of the building. We understand that. If you don't know, you got to get down to solid material if you're going to build a good building. Now, if you've driven through the country, which if you live around here, you do, you've driven through the country, sometimes you see an old barn or an old building or an old house, and that thing is leaning off. It looks like every board. It looks like if a fly landed on the other side or you just flicked it one time real good, it would collapse. And eventually, it usually does. And, what happened there? What happened was somebody was trying to get the foundation in, but somehow on one side or the other, they didn't get a good foundation. And over the years, things started settling and things started leaning off to one side, and they eventually collapsed. And you know, when you think about people building our lives, listen, look at the world we live in today. I'm telling you, you know, psychologists and psychiatric people and doctors and medications and people that have, they are making a killing because of the people whose lives are falling apart. And, you know, they're just, everybody's got, there's more neurotics and I don't know all the terminology, the things that are going on with people. They've got so many problems. And I look at it in the church even today. We were looking at the photographs and you see some of the looks on people's faces. And I told them, I said, that's what I got to look at every Sunday morning because I'm looking this way, y'all looking this way. And I'm looking out there and the people are just, you know, I mean, good night. You're trying to convince somebody to be a Christian. Yeah, you want to be a Christian. Look at this group right here. Don't you want to be one of them? No, I don't. They look out there and say, no, I don't want to happen to them, you know. And it's like it's affecting us. You know, it's getting into the church as well because we haven't built a lot of people building their lives on the wrong foundation, such as like the world philosophy that creeps into the church a lot today. You know, I've told people over and over again, don't go get marriage advice from your lost co-workers, your divorced co-workers, and all that at work. Find out about how you ought to do your marriage. You know, the Word of God right here. You know, don't go out here and find out what the world's doing, having fun and doing all that. You know, listen, I'm going to build my life on alcohol. I'm going to build my life on drugs. I'm going to build my life on extramarital affairs. I'm going to build my life on all the junk that's going on out there in the world. And then you're going to be one of them people at the psychiatrist because your life is going to collapse on you one day if you build that. And so, you know, there's a philosophy. Well, they used to say, well, the one with the most toys, whoever dies with the most toys wins. No, whoever dies with the most toys still dies. That's, you know, that's the common denominator there. But there's a philosophy out there like that. Those people aren't happy. No, they're building, their lives are collapsing right there. And you know, there's foundations, health, wealth, power. We build lives on that a lot of times, and that's not a right foundation. Those lives get tipping over onto one side. And they're falling apart every day. You know, look at churches sometimes get built on the wrong foundation. Personalities, they get a dynamic preacher. Ask the people that follow Jim Jones to Ghana. That's before some of y'all's time, I know. But Jim Jones, cult leader, charismatic guy. A lot of people followed him. They weren't building their life or their church on the Word of God. They were building it on a man. And what that man said, David Koresh, that was another group. What happened? Everything collapsed. I mean, he talked them into doing something ungodly. They took their own lives and listen to that. Or some churches build on programs. Listen, you know, we have programs. We just started the Word of Life program this year for the young people. I like it, but it's built on the Word of God. I've checked it out, and if it's not, we'll stay on the Word of God. But, you know, so many steps to succeed, and you've got that. And then some, like I say, worldly philosophies. Sometimes entertainment. Lives are built on or churches are built on entertainment. I love the music. I love singing and all that. But boy, we just can't come in here and sing a bunch of songs and go home and have anything to build our life on top of that. You know, that's just something that's built on top of the right foundation. And so the right foundation for a church and your life, as I said, are together, is the Word of God. This is it, buddy, the instruction manual. Now, we don't like to read the instruction manual. Men, at Christmas time, you know what I'm talking about. You got to put the kids' toys together. You take the instructions, you chunk them out. Then you get done, you got four parts left over, and the kid says it don't work right. What happened? You didn't read the instructions, right? Read the instructions. We've got it. And, you know, the Word of God. And, you know, Jesus said this. He told Peter, upon this rock, talking about himself, he said, I will build my church upon this rock. Jesus Christ, I'll build my church, which is people's lives. Build your life upon the Word of God. It's great. Man, how do you raise your kids? Got it right here in the Word of God. Now, what do I find as a pastor of a church for 20 years? That the Christian people are not going by the Word of God raising their kids. We heard a survey thing or heard something the other day. It said this. Maybe it's a thing that the girls were watching the other night, the little video thing. It said that the kids today are raising the parents. Huh? That's backwards. The kids are raising. It's true, though, because I see it. I see it. And so how to raise your kids, how to be an employer, how to be an employee, how to be a mother, how to be a father, how to be a husband, how to be a wife. Everything that's covered is in the Word of God. How to be a neighbor, how to be a neighbor, how to be a church member, how to be a pastor, how to be a deacon, everything. God didn't leave any stone unturned right there in the Word of God. What's the problem? People don't do it. Just do it. You know, that's what we have to do. And you know, people call up a lot of times. I'll get phone calls from people. They're looking for a church. You know, we got websites. Everything's on there now. They call up. Hey, pal, I was looking for a church. What do you got for the kids? What do you got for the young married couples? What do you have for singles? What do you have for the old folks? I got the same thing for everybody. For the kids, I got the Word of God. Huh? For the young married couples, I got the Word of God. For the unmarried couples, I got the Word of God. Huh? For the old folks, I got the Word of God. There's nothing that you need more than the Word of God. Huh? Because it's the guide for your life. Listen, God knows what He's talking about. If you ain't figured this out, God knows what He's talking about. Trust Him. Listen, so many people, you know, they don't want to do it the way God, and they think like, oh, God, man, he's this big old man, and he's me. He don't want us to have fun. Wipe that smile off your face. He don't want us to have fun. I tell people that kidding. I say, we're not here to have fun. No, listen, it's like, oh, you're having fun. It must be sin. Wrong. That's not right. we're having fun. We're sinning, brother. You know, we're laughing. I've been in churches that I think that was they taught that. I'm pretty sure. Because if you cracked a smile, everybody like looked at you. You know, it's okay to say amen. By the way, if I ever get to anything good, they look at that though. You know, listen. God's not up there saying I don't want you to have fun. How many of you was a kid and you wanted to do something and mom and dad said no, you can't do it? Did they say, no, you can't do it? Because they said, yeah, I'm just going to get on little Johnny's case today. Boy, I'm going to make his life miserable, and I'm not going to let him have any fun. Is that why they did it? Or is they did it because they looked ahead and said, you know, if you keep doing that, one time I wanted to play with my daddy's tools on the pump and the well and the water system and everything. You know, I just was, you know, and dad said, no, that's not a good idea. It hurt my feelings. I got upset about it. But guess what? I come up in a day when you started crying, the parents didn't say, oh, well, go ahead and tear all the plumbing up. You know, they didn't do that. You know, they said no, you know, dad said no, you couldn't do it because there was electricity there and there was stuff that dad said that because he didn't want me to, you know, get hurt. And plus he wanted the water to still work when took a shower, but he didn't want me to get hurt, right? That's what we do, right? God's the same way. Listen, God doesn't tell us not to do something because He doesn't want us to have fun. God tells us because He loves us and He wants us to grow right. He wants us to do right. He wants us to have a great life. That's what God wants for you. And so we have the Word of God. But that's what we need. Listen, folks, your kids, man, we got stuff for the kids. We got the junior choir. We have fun. We play volleyball. We do all that stuff. We do it. If you old folks want to play volleyball, you can play volleyball too. And it doesn't matter. But you know what? We still have the Word of God. We've got to build our life. We've got to build our church based on the Word of God. You know, over in Matthew chapter 7, a text there, if I hadn't, I must have pulled my, there it is. Matthew chapter 7 said this in verse 24. It said, therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine. Okay, this is Jesus speaking. If it's a saying of Jesus, guess what it is? It's the Word of God. Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine, the Word of God, I add that, and doeth them, you getting this? And doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, hey, Baptist members, Baptist church members, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, it didn't say in there if the rains came and the winds would come and the floods would come. It said they came. And if you've lived your life as long as a lot of us that I'm looking around at have lived, you're going to understand some things, that it's not if the floods are coming and if the winds are coming and if the rains are coming. It's just a matter of when. They're coming. They're coming. There's just no doubt about it. We're going to have those things. I get up this morning, man, first thing I get was, well, Brother Mortz was supposed to speak something. Well, he's not coming, you know, and I find out now we got 400 pieces of chicken instead of two. And, you know, I mean, there's bigger crises in life than that, I understand. But I'm just saying that's just the way life goes right there. You know, okay, well, it'll work out. Got to work it out. Got to work it out. That's all you can say. Listen, you know, you can build your life on a solid foundation, the foundation of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, you can build your life on a lot of other philosophies that fade with time and pass. One or the other, but the winds are going to come, and then those are going, they're going to blow, and their floods are going to come, and that'll sort things out. And if you're on the right foundation, it won't make any difference. Now, another thing we see, we got to build with the right material, and it listed some things over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It said gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, contrast between permanent, beautiful, valuable, and hard to obtain, cheap, temporary, easy to obtain right there. I used this illustration years ago when I first started pastoring and hadn't used it, and those of you that have been here the whole time I've been here probably might remember it. But how many of you remembered a little, I guess it's a fable or a fairy tale, the three little pigs. Everybody remember the little three little pigs story? Remember there was three little pigs and they all was going to go out and build their house. And, you know, one little pig, he built his out of straw, and one built his out of sticks, and one built his out of bricks. And then the big bad wolf came, didn't say he might come. He came. And it said, he said, let me in. And they said, not by the hair of my chinny chin, something to that effect. It's been a long time. But they built, and he huffed and he puffed. And of course we know that he blew the straw house down, the stick house, but he couldn't blow the brick house down. Now, there's a good illustration in that right there. When we think about building your house out of straw, you know, and I want to apply this to the Christian life a lot of times, we like to build our lives. You know, the thing about straw, it's easy to find, it's easy to work with, and you can build pretty fast with it. I got a feeling you could build a straw house quicker than you could a brick house. I mean, you can just get it together if they knew what they were doing, and they would build it up. Now, you see, we're living in a day now that everybody wants everything instant, and we want it easy. They even had an advertisement about the easy button. Anything comes up, you hit the easy button, right? I need one. I want one, but I don't have one. And hit the thing. And, you know, everything's instantaneous. We got to have it now, now, now. We're running, running. We want it now. That kind of pictures the three little pigs. The three little pigs, he wanted a nice house. He did, really. And way down inside, he'd have probably rather had the brick house. But the problem was, he didn't want to put the time and effort in to build the brick house. He said, I'm going to build a straw house. Because I can get the straw house up, and I can sit around, man, and I can go to the lake, and I can go fishing, and I can go to the ball game, I can play golf, and the other little pigs down there slaving away trying to get the foundation in so he can build a good house, right? There's pictures of lives like that right now. And so we have the want it now attitude, and we don't want to take a lot of effort. You know, I talk to my church every year. We talk about, you know, we're going to have a revival. Boy, we heard about the big revival down in Burlington, man. I think it went on about 10 weeks or so, and 1,200 people. We said, oh, boy, wouldn't it be great if something like that happened around here? Well, listen, man, God's not limited to a geographic location. You know, it can happen. It can happen here. But if you ask all the Christians, they say, yeah, buddy, we want a revival like that. Well, okay, are you willing to put the work in prayer and separation and in the Word of God to have it? Well, everybody's looking down, cricket sounds like we got now. You know, nobody, huh? Nobody wants to, they want it, but they don't want to work for it. You know, yeah, you know, I'd like to have all that, but boy, you know, I'd like to be able to play the guitar, you know, Beth play. I'd like to be able to play the guitar. You know why I don't play the guitar? Because I don't want to sit down there long enough and strum along in C, D, A, and B and learn all the chords and sit there and put the work in to play the cotton picking thing. Right? I mean, that's just, you know, it takes effort to get it done. And so, yeah, we want a revival. Oh, would you like to have a closer walk? Yeah, you know, I want a closer walk with God. Well, what are you doing to get it? I mean, are you getting to meetings? Are you reading your word? Are you praying, man? Are you asking God for a filling? I mean, one short trip through any church prayer meeting, they'll see right there, we're not asking for the right things. When we go to Wednesday night prayer meetings and things right there. And, we want these things. Might even want to serve God as long as it doesn't interfere with our life and take a lot of effort to do it. Yeah, we'll do something for God. It was like that. So we're like the first little pig. We want quick results. We got material, but it's not going to last. We're not building with the right things. And that's a group there that does just enough to kind of get by. I got a house, I got a roof on me, it's going to keep the sun, maybe some of the rain might leak a little bit, but, you know, it's okay. I got that. That's that group. And then you got the pig that built with sticks. That's a little better than straw. Probably took a little bit more effort there. And he builds out of sticks. Now, this is what this little pig does, and a lot of Christian folks do this too. This little pig probably built his sticks house, and he looked over there at the straw house of the other little pig and said, well, my house is better than that. I mean, crying out loud. Look at that. And he's standing around with the other little pigs and say, yeah, look at old brother so-and-so. Built that stupid straw house. You know, the wind comes up and blow that thing down. Look at us. We got a brick house. He's comparing himself to the other Christians. See? But the Bible says about itself that it's God's plumb line. That's another building term. We got laser levels and all that now. But a plumb line, when you put a weight on a string and you hang it, and that, you know, the way gravity works, if you hang it, it'll hang perfectly straight. You build the wall to the line. You don't move the line to fit the wall, although people have done that. And you don't do that. See, and so it's the plumb line there. So we're not to compare ourselves. Well, at least I'm not as bad as old brother so-and-so. Look at his life. I mean, man alive, you know, I don't live like that. That's not our plumb line. Our plumb line's the Word of God. And so what we do, we run around looking at everybody else and, you know, listen, there's tons of people out there that we could look at in a paper and, well, I'm not murdering 20 people, you know. The Bible says if you hate anybody, you're murdering. I mean, I'm just saying. That's what the Word of God says. So, I mean, we compare ourselves to other people. And that, you know, and that's not what we need to look at. So this pig, he looks over there and he says, man, my house is better than that. You know, people comparing themselves to weaker Christian. Now listen, this little pig's a smart guy. I think way down inside, this is application here. Think with me. Way down inside, he says, I know I could have built with better material than the sticks. I probably all the way back to the little straw pig. He probably thinks that. He knows it too. He knows I could have built better than that. How many Christians, you know what? Most of y'all that's been saved any amount of time, been in church, there is nothing that I'm going to tell you, probably, that's going to like, I never knew that, hits you like a ton of bricks, right? If I go in there and I say, you know what, this is right, this is wrong, everybody here is going to say, I know that. If you want revival, this is what you're going to have to do. You want a closer walk with God, and this is what you need. There's nothing I can tell you. This is what you need to do. You should be doing. And every one of you is going to go, you're right. You know you ought to not be building your life out of sticks, but you keep on slapping the sticks on there instead of getting to the bricks, getting to the rock, getting to the Word of God. You know it. He knew it. He knew his house was, he kept looking at the straw house instead of looking down here at the brick house. And he kept saying, my house is better than that one right there. At least it's better than that one right there. If he didn't look, but it isn't this one over here, right? And so we all know those things. And that's what he's at. He knows. He just won't do it. You know, this guy's like the Christian. He shows up at church just a little bit more than maybe the straw house pig. He glances at a Bible just a little bit more, understands the truth that's taught, but he never applies it to his life. This is the thing I see in Christianity today. The Christians know. The Christians that are in good Bible-preaching churches, they know. They know. But they won't apply it to their life. Real good at applying it to everybody else's life. Old brother so-and-so, you shouldn't be living like that and that, but they don't apply it to their own life, right? And they know that. It's like reading the instructions I was talking about earlier, but don't follow them and then wonder why it doesn't come out like it's supposed to at the end. That's it. Then we get to the brick pig. This guy gets it. This pig gets it, man. You know, you're going to build a brick house, you got to dig a foundation. And then you got to get it all leveled and you put the mortar down, the bricks and the rocks, and you get all that on there. And, you know, you spend as much time on the foundation as the straw pig spent on the whole house. He understands it. It's time and effort. And I'll tell you another thing. I believe the brick pig, he got his family involved. I love the testimonies of the band that was here, the group that sang, and all of them gave this, a couple of them gave this testimony. They said, thank God that mom and dad took them to church. They made them go. You know, we didn't have a vote. I did it at my house. I see this sometimes. Well, whatever the kids want to do. You're the parent, not the kids. Well, Johnny, which doctor would you like to attend? Johnny, which school do you think? You know, asking a three-year-old. You know, do you think we ought to go to church? Wait for his answer. You know, no. You know, people say this. Say, well, I had a drug problem when I was growing up. My parents drug me to church on Sunday morning, drug me to church on Sunday night, and they drug me to church on Wednesday night. Huh? Yeah, I took mine. And thank God today, you know, my family's in church, you know. Yeah, there was some bumps along the road and this and that and all that. But you know what? They got their families in church because, you know, I think this pig got his family involved in building a building on this house. And this pig, he represents the Christians that work on their relationship with God. Too many people are satisfied. They kind of got a relationship. They're on this plane right here when they ought to be on this one, but they're on this one. And they don't want to go any farther with God. And I'm going to tell you what, they're not any happier than the people that just forgot God altogether when you get right down to it, because there's nothing any unhappier in this world than a Christian that's out of God's will. You're not happy. Just, I'm going to tell you now, if you don't know it, you're not happy. That's a fact. Amen, preacher. Good stuff. Amen. That's right. This guy put in the effort because it was worth it. He built his life upon the Word of God. The Bible says, a workman who need not be ashamed. Workman, work. Work on your relationship with God. And I'm going to tell you what, when the storm came and the flood came and the wind came, you know what? His house still stood. You know what happened in Three Little Pigs story? I can't remember the end of it, but I know that I think the big bad wolf huffed and puffed and he blew the straw house down. And he huffed and puffed and he blew the stick house down. But he huffed and puffed and he blew on that brick house and it didn't cave in. Is that right? Huh? Do I have my nursery rhyme down or what? Huh? Yeah, that's right. And that's a good philosophy right there. It stood. And you know, I'm not going to get this point here, but I'm going to share. I told Brian not to put it, but you know, God's got a plan. God has plans. Got a plan for his church, and he's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for our life collectively, the ecclesia, the called out assembly. That's what the word church is, ecclesia, called out assembly. It's people. It can't be just a building. He's got a plan for that, and he's got a plan for every individual life. But you got to start off with the plans. The very first part of the plan is the foundation, Jesus Christ. You've got to stand on the foundation, Jesus Christ. Listen, this church, listen, there's been winds. Huh? There, the winds have blown and the floods have beat and the wolf has howled at the door. I'm telling you, he's out there. But I'm going to tell you what, it's still here. It's still here. I was going to tell Brother Yates if he was here 50 years ago, you know, Brother Yates, it's still here. It's still standing. She's been battered a little bit, but it's built upon the Word of God, the right foundation, Jesus Christ, the right material, his Word. And the Bible says this, that Jesus said this about his church. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Man, I'm so thankful I'm in the hand of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, listen, man, Satan can't do anything to me. He can't get my soul. He can't get my salvation. I mean, it's a hedge of protection. I wouldn't go out of the door without my faith in Jesus Christ today. I've trusted him. I feel confident in that. Well, something might happen to you. If it happens, God's going to allow it or else he's going to cause it. One or the other. And if God allows, I'm telling you, the best thing that ever happened to you is whatever God's got for your life. That is the best thing that could happen to you. Amen. It may, at the certain circumstances, it may not seem great at the time. Didn't seem great when Daddy wouldn't let me tear the well apart. I'm glad he didn't. Probably would have killed himself. Huh? God's got some things for us. He's got a plan for us. He's got a plan. If you can think about this afternoon sometime, think about this. We think we're so insignificant and God's so big and God doesn't have time. And that's why a lot of times people get into sin and all, because they think, well, God don't really have time to pay attention. Listen, God knows about every individual life. And to me, that is just a profound thought, that God, the creator of the universe, cares about every detail. Said that the hairs of our head are numbered. Every detail of our life. And that God just didn't say, here, Daniel Boone, put you out there. You just do your own thing. I'll kind of monitor it from back here, see how it goes. If you get in trouble, I'll bail you out. A lot of people think that about their life. I'll just bail you out when the time comes. You just keep... Nah. God has a plan for your life every step of the way. Amen. Okay. Amen. And I'll guarantee you, on the Word of God, that his plan for your life is better than your plan for your life.